नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। शुश्रुषो शब्दधानस्य वासुदेव कतारुचिः, श्यान्महत्सेवया विप्राः, पुण्यतीर्थ निषेवनात्। O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva.
Shrinvatam svakatah krishnah punyashravana kirtanah hridayantastohya bhadrani vidunoti suhritsatam.
Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted.
Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki.
By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact.
तदा रजस्तमो भावाः कामलोबादयश्च ये चेत एतैर् अनाविद्धं सितं सत्वे प्रसीदति.
As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy.
Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate.
Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association.
Vidyate hridaya granthesh chidyante sarva samshayah kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare.
Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Thank you. All glories to the Sam of the Bodies. All glories to the Sam of the Bodies. All glories to the Sam of the Bodies. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashtachare Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 63, Verse 42. Yas tvam visrjate bhaktya, atmanam priyam ishvaram, vipaya endri artatvam, Avisham at Amritam Tachan. Yeah. U Tham U Visrjate rejects Matya mortal man Atmanam his true self Priyam dearmost Ishvaram Lord Viparyaya which are just the opposite. Indriya Arta of sense objects. Artam for the sake. Visham poison. Ati he eats. Amrutam nectar. Chajan avoiding. Translation, that mortal who rejects you, his true self, dearmost friend and Lord, for the sake of sense objects, whose nature is just the opposite, refuses nectar and instead consumes poison. Purport, the person described above is pitiable because he rejects that which is actually dear, the Lord, and accepts that which is not dear and is ungodly, temporary sense gratification, which leads to suffering and bewilderment. Translation, that mortal who rejects you, his true self, dear most friend and Lord, for the sake of sense objects, whose nature is just the opposite, refuses nectar and instead consumes poison. So this is Shiva praising the Supreme Lord. And through this we understand that ultimately, though Shiva is a form of Vishnu, he actually is not a Jiva but the Lord. Still, he recognizes that Supreme Lord is superior to himself. So therefore we have an illustration of the supremacy of the Lord over Shiva and Brahma and others in this whole pastime, where Banasura is defeated and Shiva offers his respects to the Supreme Lord. So, here is a very true statement, and also it shows foolishness of Amartya, the human being in this world, because he refuses to accept nectar, which is very sweet and tasty, and he drinks poison, which will kill him. So we would say, well, that's very foolish to kill yourself with poison or whatever, and when there's an alternative. But actually, this is the position of everyone in the material world. One term to describe the jivas of the material world is bahirmukha, which means they are turned towards something other than the Lord. In other words, they are turned to the external energy, bahiranga shakti of the Lord, which means they reject the Lord. So sometimes the jivas of the material world are described as those jivas who reject the Lord in favor of enjoyment in this world. So it's like a dual condition. You either for the Lord, in which case you worship the Lord and you're situated in the spiritual world, or you accept matter, prakriti, enjoyment in the material world, and you enjoy here. And in accepting the material world to enjoy, you reject the Lord. So, this rejection is considered to be anadi, no beginning. We cannot trace out when the jiva first decided, I will not worship the Lord, I will enjoy with matter. We cannot trace out a beginning to that. So the jiva takes one body after the other, but we can never find a first body for the jiva when he was enjoying in the material world. So that is also the meaning of anadi karma. No beginning to our karma, because the karma is actually a result of our enjoyment in the material world. Here it talks about sense objects, the senses, contact sense objects, and they get some stimulation, and then the jiva thinks, this is enjoyment, this is happiness, this is nectar. So this condition causes the jiva to get karma. He does actions to achieve his results in this world. He gets karma, then he gets body. So we get body after body after body. Or before this body, there's the body, a body, a body, and it is considered anadi, no beginning. So another way of explaining it is anadi avidya, beginningless ignorance. Beginningless, what is the ignorance? It's avidya, lack of knowledge. So vidya is recognizing Supreme Lord. Avidya means rejection of the Lord. So the jiva has anadi avidya, beginningless ignorance, which causes him to take birth with anadi karma in this material world. So that's the scriptural description of the jiva in the material world. So this is a picturesque way of describing that. The jiva is drinking poison and thinks this is nectar. But this is not a hopeless position, because there is an alternative to the poison in the material world, which we think is nectar. And that is, there's actual nectar, there's actual sweetness, there's actual happiness. But jiva is unaware of that, and he's enjoying in the material world. Therefore, the Lord is not indifferent to the jivas in the material world, because they always have a choice. They can choose to enjoy sense objects and continue with that and get karma and get another body. And the Lord is so merciful, he gives them another chance and another chance and another chance, if they so desire to enjoy sense objects. He gives them body after body to do that, if they want. That's his mercy also. But his other mercy is to give them knowledge. And then they can give up karma, give up ignorance, give up material bodies, and enjoy eternally in the spiritual world. So that's what the actual nectar is, to get actual eternal happiness. That's the amrita, or the nectar. So the Lord makes arrangement for that. If the jiva wants, he can enjoy in the material world and drink the poison, or he can accept the nectar. That's the choice that the Lord gives. But we may argue, the Lord actually doesn't offer in such a nice way explicitly. But yes, he does. So the Lord may come personally and show himself in the material world. He comes as avatar. And we say, it's not very often. But actually, it's not just once. He appears thousands of times in one day of Brahma. So it's not that he doesn't appear often. Now we say, but it's still too long, because only once a yuga, 450,000 years or something, like 32,000 years or 1 million years or whatever like that, the Lord will appear for 100 years or whatever. Not very frequent. So that is true, but then the Lord empowers devotees to give knowledge and give mercy on his behalf. So there is opportunity when the Lord is not present also. As well as that, the Lord supplies scriptures so that we can understand the truth, so we get knowledge through scriptures. So the Lord provides opportunity for the jiva to get education or knowledge through the scriptures and through the devotees. The scriptures are there, and the devotees are there at all times in the material world when the Lord is not personally present as avatar. So there are opportunities in all cases. So we cannot argue that the Lord is indifferent and he's not providing this choice to us. So he does that through the scriptures, through the devotees, through his own appearance, etc. Unfortunately, even the Lord comes, or the devotees are there, or the scriptures are there, many people refuse. Choice is given, they refuse the choice. So we cannot blame the Lord for that. We refuse to accept the offer of knowledge given by the Supreme Lord. The only argument against that can be, why does the Lord give free will to the jiva? That's all we can argue. The answer is, that's the nature of jiva. He has free will. He can choose. He's an individual, powerful consciousness, and he can choose what he wants. The Lord does give opportunity for the jivas in the material world to choose the nectar and reject the poison. But many choose not to. This is evident because though the Lord comes, and though the devotees are there, though the scriptures are there, very few accept the knowledge and take to the process of bhakti and worship the Lord. In other words,
when given a choice, most of the jivas reject it. And even if the Lord personally appears, so many people reject it. All the asuras rejected the Lord when he appeared as Krishna. And he had to kill so many demons because they refused to accept. So it's very difficult for the jiva to make the right choice also. However, the Lord again is merciful, and he gives many opportunities, many chances to the jivas over many births. So you get another body, get another chance, get another body, get another chance. Hopefully, in one lifetime, then you'll make a right choice. So we can never accuse the Lord of being uncompassionate, that he's not merciful. No, he's very, very merciful. He gives opportunity. So, here, Shiva describes the nature of the Supreme Lord, why he is nectar, why he is amrita. Because he says the Lord is actually the Atma. Not generally we think, okay, Atma is individual jiva. But here in this verse it says, Lord is Atma. He is Priyam and he is Ishvara. So of course we know, yes, Ishvara, he is the supreme controller, the supreme Lord. That's very evident. And in spite of this, the jiva rejects him out of foolishness, even though he is supreme. But then he is Atmanam, he is the very self. He is the self. So yes, the jiva is Atma, but Lord is the principal Atma, the Paramatma, the supreme Atma. So in other words, very similar to the jiva. And therefore they're both called Atma. Both conscious beings. But also there's a difference. The Lord is the supreme Atma. He has more power, more qualities, etc. And furthermore, though the Atma is there, the Lord is the Atma of the Atma. Just as we are the Atma of the body. So we give life to the body and whatever like that, and or for the body works. So the body is sustained by the jiva. But the Lord sustains the jiva. Without the Lord, the jiva also cannot operate. The Atma can also not operate. So he is the Atma of the Atma. That is the Paramatma. So from the Supreme Lord comes the consciousness of the jiva, the free will of the jiva, the capacity to act, the capacity to experience happiness. All of this is there because of Supreme Lord. If there's no connection at all with the Supreme Lord, nothing happens, even in the material world. So even in the material world, to enjoy materially, yes, because of the Lord. He is the Paramatma. He helps you fulfill your desires in this material world. He helps you perceive things to get your enjoyment in the material world also. So he's the Atma of the Atma. So in the Bhagavatam, there's often an analysis that what is dear to a person in this material world? So we say, oh, this object is very nice, or that object is very nice. And this is, no, ultimately not. It's not that the objects are so dear. More dear to that, they're dear because they give happiness to you. And what is the happiness? Is it the happiness of the senses? No, because the senses cannot really experience happiness. They don't have consciousness. It's not the mind. Mind also is just a subtle material element. It does not have consciousness in itself. It cannot experience and say, I'm happy. Well, ultimately, we get happiness from sense objects in this world because of the experience of the Atma or the jiva. The jiva is the experiencer and thinks, I am happy because I smell the flower or I taste the prasadam or whatever. So the jiva is the root. So therefore, it said, what is most dear for the individual is self, more than the body, more than the senses, more than the object. Actually, it's the self that is dear because it's getting the experience. So dearer to than anything material, even the body, is the very self of the jiva. But to carry it one step further, the jiva only gets his powers because of Supreme Lord. So therefore, the jiva should think that the Supreme Lord is the dearest of all. Dearer than his very self is Supreme Lord, because he's giving powers to the jiva by which he can experience happiness. So therefore, the Supreme Lord is the Atma of the Atma, and he's most dear. Dearer than the Atma himself. The Supreme Lord is even dearer to the jiva, because he is the one who empowers the jiva to get his experiences. So that is why it is said Atmanam Priyam. So Shiva recognizes this Supreme Lord, who is the Atma of the Atma and most dear to everyone. But other people, the people of the material world, don't recognize, they reject Supreme Lord. And instead, they prefer to enjoy material objects. So, Supreme Lord has many forms. So we have Vishnu, we have Narsimhadeva, we have Varaha and Vamana, and we have Krishna. So according to Bhagavatam, of all those forms, Krishna manifests the most qualities, and therefore he is the most attractive. And therefore, if we realize the form of Krishna rather than the other forms, we get the greatest bliss. So, therefore, of all the forms of the Lord, Krishna is the most dear. And so the Lord is the Atma and most dear. Of all the forms of the Lord, Krishna is most dear. He is dearest of all, because he gives the highest bliss. But in spite of that, then we have demons who don't recognize it, like Vana. He's fighting with Krishna, who's the most blissful and most attractive of all. And Vana's blind. He fights with them. So this is amazing, very astonishing, how a person is so covered over by material energy that he can't even recognize God and even the most attractive form of God. Very, very difficult for him to recognize. However, because Krishna is most attractive, in spite of the demon not recognizing the Lord, he still gets attracted to him. And therefore, it's explained. That is why when Shishupala was killed, he went to the spiritual world, because he concentrated on the form of Krishna in hatred. And because of the concentration, he got purified. And it does not happen for other forms of the Lord. But because Krishna is most attractive, therefore even the person in hatred begins to concentrate on Krishna. And therefore, special result is there for the different demons. So we see here also, Banasura, right, also got special mercy from the Lord because of this. Therefore, of all the different forms of the Lord, Krishna is the most dear and the most attractive and most merciful, etc. And therefore we get remarkable results by establishing a relationship with Krishna, either involuntarily as the demons do, or voluntarily as the devotees do. And in this way, what happens is that though we are searching in the material world for happiness from sense objects, if we accept the Lord, then we also get happiness from sense objects. But the sense objects are spiritual sense objects related to the Supreme Lord. So we get happiness from seeing the form of the Lord, from smelling the fragrances of the Lord, from hearing the words or the flute of the Lord, etc. So we have sense objects in the spiritual world also, but not poison like the material sense objects and the results. The opposite. But nevertheless, the jiva experiences bliss. So therefore, the amrita for the jiva in the spiritual world is the sweetness which is actual with no negative effects. The poison in the material world may seem to be sweet, but actually it's poison, and it gives bad effects. What are the bad effects? We get suffering, we get karma, temporary happiness, unsatisfied happiness, not real happiness. What is the effect in the spiritual world? We get eternal happiness, which is fully satisfying. No bad effects, no karma, increasing joy. So it's similar in some ways, the poison and the nectar. But the nectar actually gives us real joy and happiness, which is eternal, with no negative effects at all. So it is unfortunate that the jivas of the material world, in spite of the nature of the Supreme Lord being so sweet and full of nectar, especially in the form of Krishna, they still reject and they prefer the poison. So it's surprising in one sense, but then again not so surprising, because we see so many examples in this material world. For instance, they have cigarettes, and on the package it says this is harmful for your health, because scientifically it's proven that you have a very great chance of getting lung cancer. But people actually buy it, and they think it is nectar. Why would they buy it? Because they think it's nice. They even spend their money. They work hard, they get some money, and they spend it on a cigarette because it's nice. And even they're told it's poison. It's harmful to you. Still, they still take it. Knowing it is poison, they still take it. Of course, people don't know it is poison, they will take. But even they know it's poison, and it says right on the package it's bad for you, still they take it. So this is the foolishness of a person in the material world. No intelligence, ultimately. Even they're told what is right. So that is the same with the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord comes and says, here I am. Still, no, we don't accept. Matter of scripture? No, we don't accept the scripture. Devotees tell, no, we don't accept. So this is the stubborn nature of the people in the material world. Ignorant, very ignorant. Of course, other plants and animals, there's no choice, really. We can't give them a choice. They don't have enough intelligence. Now, human beings, by definition, should be able to choose. But unfortunately, if they're in tamagun, highly unlikely. Very, very difficult for them to choose. If they're in sattva-gun, very good, they could make a nice choice. But if they're in tamagun, very, very difficult to choose. So that is why, even the Lord comes in the material world, still many jivas, human beings, they choose to reject the Lord. They don't want to accept. So we cannot blame the Lord for this. This is the stubborn nature of the jivas. So the Lord also realizes, yes, that it takes a long time for the jivas to make a choice. So that is why, birth after birth, they are given opportunities. The Lord comes, and then the devotees are there to expose the jivas to the process of bhakti, etc. So, therefore, this is also an act of compassion. The Lord realizes the jivas have very great difficulty to change. So he gives them many, many opportunities all throughout the day of Brahma, all throughout the lifetime of Brahma, even after that. Again, when everything's destroyed, then he again creates the world, and he pushes the jivas back to give them more chances. So they have a chance to enjoy materially. They also get a chance to understand and realize Supreme Lord. So in this way, the Lord is most compassionate. And of all the forms, Krishna is the most merciful and most attractive.
But we see that even after becoming a devotee, a sadhaka is not having a consistent attraction for Krishna. if he had, I mean, his attraction is not consistent, or nor he does have such an attraction like Shishupal Maharaj.
Well, I mean, it's not as the same as Shishupal's attraction. Well, not as intense, you're saying?
We see Shishupal had so much attraction that he could go back to Krishna, but even after becoming a sadhaka,
well,
that attraction—it
was Krishna in person. One, Krishna was present personally, and it was not sudden. It took his whole lifetime to be purified until the point that he got killed. When he was killed, then that was the point where he was purified. So it took a long, long time for that process to operate until he became purified in the presence of Krishna himself personally. So, if one is a devotee in the presence of Krishna personally, then obviously he could very quickly advance through sadhana and get prema quite quickly. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the personal presence of Krishna, so it becomes a little more difficult. However, then we get the alternatives. We have the deity form of the Lord, who's not different from the Lord. We have scripture, Bhagavatam, not different from the Lord. And we got Harinam, name of the Lord, which is not different from the Lord. So these are the processes by which we can approach Krishna. They're also non-different, but because of our covered nature, then we don't think of them as non-different. We tend to think, oh, actually, if Lord were personally present, better. But actually, all these things are personally the Lord, but because of our coverings, we don't recognize. So, of all the things, the name is the most powerful. So we see even Ajamil accidentally chants the name, all of his karmas got gone. It's purified immediately, 1 second. In other cases, if they have aparad, offense, then it'll be a little slower. Nevertheless, still is quick. If there's aparad, however, it takes longer. So in the personal presence of the Lord, it took a long time for Shishupal because he was had aparad also. No aparad, very quick.
In the same context, one thing Prabhupada was mentioning was that my only concern is my disciples and devotees are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. They are not frightened about Maya. I mean, that seems to be the concern, Maharaj. Even after becoming a sadhaka, we are not, a sadhaka is not much worried about the Maya's attack, Maharaj.
So that
seems to be the concern, like for a sadhaka.
Well, there's two things. One is to realize the dangers of Maya, of not being attracted. The other is to develop the attraction for the Lord. So the more that attraction for the Lord develops, then the less worry is necessary for Maya. But it's still a worry, but it's much less. So if one comes to a nishta stage, the attraction for the Lord is more, and the attraction for Maya is a little less. So you can at least practice steadily. And if you get to asakti, then it's quite prominent attraction for Krishna and very minor attraction for Maya. It's not a worry anymore because one is spontaneously attracted to bhakti and Krishna. If one gets to bhava, one has a realization of the Lord. So much, much less worry. Still, there's some impurity there and it can cause problem. Even there, as in the case of Bharat Maharaj. So he became attracted to a deer afterwards. So yes, Maya can pop up at any stage, even in bhava stage. So yes, we do have to be careful, but much less concerned than in the lower stages before nishta.
Lord Shiva says you are mortal. That means what? He's a non-devotee? He's definitely a non-devotee.
Materialist.
One who rejects you, but
materialist.
Lord is so merciful, like a father, even the son is going away from him, he always tries to bring him. So Lord can even bring the person who doesn't know about him. Or somebody who doesn't know about the Lord, he must not have got an opportunity to know about him. A new person, how he can know? He cannot know who is Krishna, who is Lord, unless he preached by somebody on an association.
We can't preach to the faithless, but anyway, we can give them prasadam, or we can have them see the form of the Lord, or hear the holy name. So it's indirect in the beginning. So therefore, part of our preaching is simply to expose people to Krishna somehow or other. That's all. And the effect is there, but it may not be visible for many lifetimes for that particular person. It may take five lifetimes for them to get faith even. But nevertheless, we go on and expose people, and eventually they can get favorable in one lifetime. It may take time though.
Well, you would have mentioned that Jiva's nature is free will. If Jiva's nature is free will, it appears, what you said, is his nature is independent of Krishna.
Yes.
independent of Krishna.
Well, that free will is given by Krishna in that sense. He's dependent. But the Lord allows him that free will. So it is some freedom, just like the country allows you freedom, but it has some limits to it. You can't do anything you want. There's some limits there. So Jiva has free will, and the material world, he acts within the law of karma. That's his limitation. And if he does something against the Lord doesn't, then he gets bad karma for it.
You're making point this, the senses are unconsciousness. So then, how to explain this? Whatever, you know, if Atma wants to experience something, you know, Atma needs senses.
Without senses, in the material world.
Yeah. Without senses, cannot experience anything also.
In the material world. Yeah,
yeah, in the material world. So yeah. Now, how can we say again that Atma, you know, then how this Atma will experience without senses, without material?
How does he experience?
How Atma will experience anything without senses?
Well, in the spiritual world, we have spiritual senses,
in the material,
so we enjoy that.
In the material,
material world, we have to get a material body with material senses and sense objects. In other words, even if the sense object, even if the senses are there, but there's no sense objects, you cannot enjoy. The eye cannot see anything, and so you need the smell, you need the form, you need all these things. So it's an arrangement made by the Lord. You have sense objects, you have senses, you have body, you have mind. All intelligence, all the false ego, all these things combined together so that the jiva can get a sense of, I am happy in the material world.
Another question, what else we see, Lord Shiva is considered like he's also Guna Avatara. And even, he's also considered a Lord sometime. So, but we see here, he knows his own position, that he is, I am Guna Avatara. But still, by knowingly, and he also knows that he cannot defeat the Lord. He knows very well, but still he is going to. He was fighting before.
Yeah. So it's explained previously that due to the lila shakti of the Lord, arrangements, well, he gets a little bit covered over. Even Balaram gets covered over by Krishna. So, therefore, it can happen to Shiva also. But we cannot blame him, say he's in Maya or whatever like that, because it's will of the Lord.
It is said that he's because of his yoga Maya.
Yeah.
He's
does not exist in the spiritual world. Here it's all about Atma's Atma.
Yeah.
But that Atma's Atma does not...
Well, not as Paramatma. But obviously everybody takes Krishna as dearer than their self there. So he's the Atma in the other and other sense. Not that he's the Paramatma with four arms in the spiritual world. It's Krishna himself who is the Atma of the Atma. And they're completely inspired by Krishna.
Disciple and a spiritual master. Is it right, and how do you?
In one sense, yes. He was his protector and whatever. I don't know if he taught him anything spiritual, but he gave him benediction, which turned out to be a curse in one sense, and also a benediction because he got to meet Krishna.
And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there are four kinds of people approach me. So they are said to be faithful.
Yeah.
Artha, artha, the jnani, jnasu. And spiritual master is considered to be Krishna himself. How does a spiritual master take into this type of people? How does the spiritual master take these kind of people? Because spiritual master is supposed to give only spiritual enlightenment. The artha, artha, and jnani.
Well, his goal is to take the people of different types of faith, mixed bhakti, etc., and teach them pure bhakti. Should teach them pure bhakti rather than impure bhakti.